Thank you for that. And in case you missed it, that's a marvelous hymn of freedom by the great Canadian jazz master Oscar Peterson. Thanks. I wonder if you've heard of this archbishop from Brazil named Dom Helder Camara. He said, "When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist." Those words and that thought has been echoed in many places and times throughout the history, especially the modern history of the church. The United Church of Canada has sometimes been accused of being socialist or communist. Have you ever heard that? Sometimes it's half jokingly, maybe not even half jokingly, referred to as the NDP at prayer. Jesus was also accused of being a radical and a troublemaker. There are many paintings depicting this scene. One of the favorite stories about Jesus for many ecumenicals is the story of the time when Jesus visited the temple in Jerusalem and he saw the tables set up in the outer courtyard, which is where people came in to worship, and indeed those who were not part of the nation of Israel, the people who were not Jews, if they wanted to pray, they were welcome at the temple, but they stayed in that outer courtyard area to pray. And he came into that space and saw what was going on as it had been for many years, with merchants selling birds and other animals for sacrifice, exchanging Roman currency for Hebrew coinage so people could make their offerings in the right currency. These businesses were just part of the regular infrastructure that had evolved at the temple. They weren't new. But somehow, they triggered in Jesus an angry reaction. He disrupted their business. He upset tables and chased them off. It's pretty much the only image or story we have of Jesus behaving in a way that is kind of overtly violent. There's really no detail about what exactly he did, except that he was angry, that he spoke against what was going on and chased them away. Pretty disruptive. It's a story that's remembered actually in all four of the Gospels, which is one indication of why it's so important. And it's depicted in lots of different art throughout the centuries. If you look carefully at this painting, look behind Jesus, you'll see, besides some other onlookers, there's some pretty official-looking people. The priests and the temple officials watching this scene unfold with horror and judgment. Many theologians believe that this story portrays the key conflict between Jesus and the religious establishment of his time, which ultimately led to the plot to arrest Jesus and execute him on the cross. And this tradition of holy troublemaking certainly didn't start with Jesus. It's deeply embedded in some of the most ancient sources of our faith. There are several passages in the prophets and Psalms in which we hear God rejecting our religious practices because of their hypocrisy in the face of poverty and injustice. In the first chapter of Isaiah, God is heard saying, "What makes you think I want your gifts and offerings? I've had enough of your spare cash and your monthly checks. I'm not interested in the blood and sweat you pour into your church buildings. Who asked for all this when you come to worship? Get out of here. Go get your feet out of my house. Your offerings are useless. I detest even the smell of your fresh-cut flowers. Your evening prayers and your regular Sunday services, I can't stand your church services. They are corrupt with sin. I hate your monthly services and your special dinners and lunches. They have become cumbersome to me. I am tired of bearing their weight. When you bow your heads and fold your hands, I won't even look at you. You can pray all you want. I'm not going to listen. Your hands are covered in blood. Wash yourselves. Clean up your act. Get your corrupt activities out of my sight. Stop all this evil. Learn to do the right thing. Pursue justice. Save the oppressed. Defend human rights. Protect the vulnerable." Harsh, right? So harsh. Those are the words of Isaiah, admittedly in paraphrase, modern paraphrase, but they're there. How do we live our faith? The ethics and mandates of social justice in our faith traditions are deeply rooted in the prophets, the prophetic tradition. As we just heard from Isaiah, and also as we heard Susan read from Amos and Micah and other prophets like Hosea and many others, we hear these sentiments repeated over and over again. Harsh words from God to God's people, reminding us what faith should really be about. Jesus stood directly in the line of those prophets who repeatedly reminded people what the point of their faith was. It wasn't all about fancy words and rituals. It wasn't just about personal spirituality or the community of the insiders. It's about how we live with our neighbors, with strangers, even our enemies. It's about living our love not just with easy charity and acts of kindness, but with hard questions and holy troublemaking. And so today, as you see the assortment of pictures there, the United Church of Canada continues its strong social gospel tradition in a whole variety of ways. One of the ways that we do that is with a celebration that started a few years ago called Pi Day. Pi being an acronym for public, intentional, and I think it's explicit. We'll see in a second.
March 14th, National Affirming Pi Day is celebrating its sixth birthday. This is a day when we can honor all of the incredible affirming work happening across the country. From showing up in solidarity and marching in pride parades, to challenging hate and creating places of safety. Many United Church communities of faith are doing affirming work bravely and faithfully. PI stands for public, intentional, and explicit. Those are the standards we hold ourselves to when we seek to live into being affirming, welcoming, and inclusive people and communities. On National Affirming Pi Day, we are reminded of this commitment to being public, intentional, and explicit in our affirming work. This work matters. This year, we are focusing on the public part of Pi. Our theme is Pi in the Public Square. As you prepare for your own affirming celebrations, we encourage you to think about what it truly means to be public. Are you part of the affirming work in your wider community? Who are your neighbors and partners? Look for ways to build relationships outside of your community of faith and truly show up in a public way in the broader community. Sometimes reaching out can be hard or intimidating, but public allyship requires us to step out of our comfort zone and truly show up in the public square. In each community, this public allyship will look different. I have seen this in how affirming communities of faith are reaching out to other faith traditions to form affirming interfaith alliances, especially in regions where the homophobic and transphobic lobby is strong and vocal. I also see it where communities of faith who have long supported new Canadians entering as refugees are shifting to pay particular attention to the plight of rainbow refugees, those who are seeking asylum because of the risk of persecution and harm because of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. Last year, I set an intention to learn more about the historical roots of the justice struggles and of fiction written by the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA+ community. And I enjoyed reading books like The Book of Pride, LGBTQ Heroes Who Changed the World, Out North, An Archive of Queer Activism and Kinship in Canada, and the young adult novel Friday, I'm in Love by Cameron Garrett. This year, my commitment is to be public in my advocacy. I recently joined the National Interfaith Queer Faith Collective, and I'm working with the regions to discern where my presence as moderator will have a significant public impact. Thank you to each and every person doing this important work in the United Church of Canada. I look forward to seeing how you will bring Pi into the public square this year.
So in case you didn't catch it at the beginning, that's Carmen Lansdowne, the moderator of the United Church of Canada. And she told us about Pi Day, which is, you know, based on the it's kind of a clever play on pi, which is 3.14, the mathematical equation for pi. So 3.14, March 14th, was the day that got chosen to help us as a church become public, intentional, and explicit in being affirming. And that's one of the many areas that we act and live our ecumenical faith. Another might be the attending or being part of, supporting in some way the movement to be in solidarity with the people in Gaza, with Palestinians. This coming Saturday, there'll be a walk in Delta and Surrey, and the hardiest folks will walk a full 35 kilometers, which is the distance from Gaza to the city that people have been forced to. Rafah. Thank you. But of course, there's ways to do a shorter walk, and to be in solidarity. So please do share that information with folks that might be interested. Many of the folks that are part of those activities may not show up here on Sunday morning.